As the flakes began to fall in our recent snowstorm, Rhode Island Education Commissioner Deborah Gist was at the State House, unveiling the latest round of statewide standardized test results. Now that the state has more or less dug out from the storm, I asked Commissioner Gist to dig in a little deeper and look at the numbers. Commissioner Gist, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for having me.
So how did you fare in the snowstorm? Did you lose power or anything like that?
No. I'm really fortunate to live in downtown Providence, and our lines are mostly buried. And it's a beautiful part of the state, and I love living downtown.
So before the storm and the power outages and all the snow on the ground, the state released NECAP scores. And looking at the report, you have a lot of individual schools and districts showing progress, also some that are slipping. But from your perspective, what are some of the biggest success stories here?
Well, I think one of the biggest success stories that I think sometimes get lost in our concern about our performance in math and science is that our students do well compared to the other New England states on reading and writing. And in fact, for the second year in a row, Rhode Island high school students were the highest performing students in reading compared to the other New England states. And so I think that's really important for us to take a moment and appreciate that.
It seems like some of the best news really on a lot of levels was at the high school grades, or really in 11th grade, which is the tested grade. Tell me about some of the gains that Rhode Island 11th graders made in this last round.
So we did make gains with our high school students. So we were up 4 percentage points in mathematics, and we were also up in reading at the high school level. And then our performance with our students in grades 3rd through 8th grade was were stable.
Now, do you see the growth at the high school level as a direct result of the new graduation policy that does use test scores as one of 3 requirements students will need to get a diploma?
No, not necessarily. And I would also say that while we're glad that we made gains at the high school level, these are not the kind of gains that we need in order to get to where we need our students to be. So we need gains that are more significant than this statewide. And that's why we highlighted some of the high schools who made really significant gains, because we wanted to demonstrate what's possible when teams of teachers and leaders and school districts and schools are working together.
Give me one of those examples. Who's really doing this right, and how'd they do it?
Well, we highlighted 3 of the schools, Mount Hope, North Providence, and Smithfield. And we heard from the leadership at Mount Hope, North Providence, and Smithfield. And I think what was really encouraging about what they shared was that it's very consistent with our overall statewide plans. And we didn't know that was going to be the case, actually, when we reached out to them and said, you know, how did you see these kinds of amazing gains in mathematics for your students? And but they talked about all of the using the kinds of tools that we're developing, using our Race to the Top funding, carrying out the expectations that are set out in the secondary school regulations. And so that was really validating, in that if we can see schools across the state using the tools that we're developing, carrying out these same kind of practices, we're really confident that we can see these kinds of gains statewide.
And I want to go back just briefly to the graduation requirements, because that has been so controversial. And a lot of students and some advocates are saying this is penalizing students for the failures of an entire system, especially when you see schools like some of the high schools in Providence, where 80% or more of the students are going to have to struggle now to graduate to show improvement on those tests. Why do you feel it's still important to move forward with this requirement?
Well, I feel like it's important for a number of different reasons. We know that some of our students are not going to be able to make up years worth of lack of mathematical instruction. So when we designed the expectations, we said that if a student is not at least partially proficient the fall of their junior year, and I'll just take a moment to reiterate that our expectations are partially proficient on 10th grade standards before students graduate from high school. That is the bare minimum of what they're going to actually need to be able to be successful in whatever they choose to do after high school. But let's say they're not partially proficient. Then they have the opportunity. They have, first of all, a full another year worth of courses. And then in addition to that, the schools are providing interventions. During the school day, after the school day, during the summer, there are a variety of different options depending on the district. And the state has also invested in tutoring services that are available to students, online math modules that are available to students. And I'm focusing on math only because that's our biggest challenge. Then they have the opportunity to take it the assessment again the fall of their senior year. If they're at least partially proficient at that point, then they've met that portion of the graduation requirement. If they're not, they'll still be able to graduate as long as they've made growth during that period. And that was absolutely put into place because we recognize the fact that to put a level of expectation on them that's beyond what they're capable of doing in the course of a year is not fair to them. But we also wanted to make sure that at least in those last, you know, years and months of high school, they were getting as much intervention as they possibly could. Because just saying, you know, okay, well, we're just going to graduate, you know, thousands of students anyway, is what we've been doing for years. And we know that it doesn't work and it's not good for them. It's actually completely unacceptable.
And Commissioner Gist, getting back a little bit to the NECAP scores on the elementary school side, I want to look at fourth grade reading because many experts say that reading skill by the end of third grade is a key indicator of future academic performance. So on that measure, Rhode Island students slipped a percentage point in 2012, and that number has really barely budged in the last 4 years. Does that concern you?
Well, I think anytime we don't see our scores increasing, that's concerning. But first of all, we're continuing to support our schools in the expectation that they have personal literacy plans for students who are not proficient in reading. In addition, we've been investing millions of dollars in the development of curriculum. And that's curriculum in all of the major course areas, which includes English, language arts, and reading and writing. But I also think it's an important note to make that while we do better in reading than we do in mathematics, we do need to improve our performance.
And Commissioner Gist, I know that teachers feel tremendous pressure to improve the scores. And in fact, that's part of their evaluations now for teachers in tested subjects like English and math and science. I'm wondering if you feel the same pressure from this annual testing.
Well, absolutely, I feel the same pressure. And I think, honestly, we should all feel pressure to make sure that our students are learning. I don't think the pressure should be about the test score alone. The pressure should be about, are we making sure that our students, all of them, are making improvements from where they started? And especially for those that are really struggling, we need to get them up. And then for far too long, we haven't focused on the fact that we have many students who aren't as challenged as we want them to be. So one of the major changes that we've made is that we want gains and growth for all of our students. So, you know, for far too long in education, if a student came in and they were already doing really well, they, you know, just would go through the motions and oftentimes would get bored and weren't being challenged. Our expectations is that all students are making gains. But it isn't just about the assessment. There actually aren't any decisions that we're making about students, about teachers, about schools that are based just on the state assessment. And where we are using the state assessment, we're factoring in growth. So it's not just saying, here's the bar, and if you meet this bar, you're good, and if you don't, you're awful. That would just be silly. And I do think that sometimes people think that is what we're doing. And so I think it's important for them to understand that we're looking at it much more carefully than that, and not just factoring in test scores, but factoring in, you know, depending on the topic, you know, whether it's teacher performance or student or school or my performance, we're looking at a variety of different ways of looking at performance.
Rhode Island Education Commissioner Deborah Gist, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.